okay? It's so, so easy to follow, but I'm going to carry you back and forth a few chapters, but really follow this, because you're going to look at tonight to Paul and Barnabas and John Mark. These were some of the most successful followers of Christ that the world's ever known. Amen? Do you agree with that? But even those can backtrack. Even they can make bad decisions. Let's see how, though. So, we learned there that John Mark left. Right, I read that right. He left. Let's give you some backstory here real quick. Go back to Acts chapter 12, verse 5. So what was he doing to start with? See, I think John Mark grew up in a godly home. So, Brother Michael, how do you know that? Well, let's find out. Acts chapter 12, look at verse 5 there. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. So now we go to verse 12. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. So here we go back and see, guess what? Peter was in jail. People were praying for Peter to get out of that jail, be delivered from that jail. And guess where the prayer meeting was? In Mark's mama's house. Right? So I know he was in a godly home, amen? I know he was. See, it's about time you get to Acts 13 and 13, though, the story shifts a little bit. The great Apostle Paul and Barnabas, the great encourager, were about to go on their first missionary journey. About to set sail, if you will. I can see it now because, again, I'm going to paraphrase some here, so please go with me here. Because, again, I love Barnabas. He's a great encourager. I can see Barnabas just saying to Paul, now, you know what, Paul? I know this guy. He's my cousin, but forget that fact. But he's just on fire for God. He's tearing the town up. He's doing great things. His name is John Mark. Why don't we take him with us to be our assistant on the journey? We could use him, right? So Barnabas discusses that with Paul. You know, I like the word assistant. It means helper, but the nautical term is rower. One who does the work, brother. One who is busy, right? So, that's the part there. So here we go. Paul, sure, no problem. We'll do that. Sounds good. Help sounds good, right? So they take off, and we don't get barely into this thing. The journey, guess what happens? What does Mark do? He leaves. He quits. He returns back to Jerusalem. So what? Hold on. The man of God, the man on fire for God, just quits all of a sudden after Barnabas just lobbied to get him on the journey to start with? Why would he quit? Now, here's the thing. There's a lot of theologians out there. The Bible doesn't say why he quits. I don't know why he quit. Please understand, I don't know why he quit, okay? I don't know that. There's so much mess out there. Why? And it's just an opinion. Doesn't mean it's right or wrong. It's an opinion. But in reality, we know he quit, right? So, but you know what? Let me stop for a second there. Let me change gears. I hate to do that. I'm not going to chase rabbits for tonight, but this is so good. Today, see, when someone wants to quit or something wrong, all the gossipers come out, don't they? All the murmurs come out. Notice how Luke depicts that, though. Luke never says, well, they were on their journey, but good old John Mark decided he wasn't good enough for it, so he just quit. He never said that. He never says one negative word, does he? Isn't that great? He just says, Mark returns to Jerusalem. I like that. Now, if that were the case today, goodness gracious, Brother Joy, can you imagine what Facebook would do? How many likes he would get, teenagers, right? Boy, it's my soapbox now. I'm hurt your feelings for a little bit. I hate Facebook. I despise it. I don't use it. I despise it. My wife uses it. Don't get me wrong. It's a wonderful tool. My church uses it. I encourage my young guys to manage. I oversee it. Just make sure nothing gets bad on there. It's a great tool, a wonderful tool, but it can also be a deadly tool. It can. Like a lot of social media today. See, I'm in HR. I interview and hire for a living you guys in a few years. Let me give you the real cold facts. I interview about 45 people a week on average. Guess how many I hire? Maybe two. Of those 45, only two are ready to be employed in the workforce. And a lot of us, you know why? It's because of Facebook. Because of the Snapchats and the Instagrams and all that kind of nonsense. You're not forced to talk to anybody. Can you imagine a teen today saying, Brother Joy, I want to go like Paul and Barnabas. I want to go on a missionary trip to meet strangers, to be uncomfortable. Well, if we couldn't text it, we couldn't go. Isn't that right? So use it for the right reasons. Now, see, people who didn't even know John Mark were talking about him. Been there before? They were murmuring and gossiping about him. He's a quitter. Why'd he do this? See, one bad decision has a massive ripple effect. It carries on. Let's see how it affected the rest of the world as we know it, matter of fact. Now, fast forward. Turn your Bible to chapter 15 of Acts, chapter 15, and go to verse 36 there. This right here is so good. So I told you the story there. We don't know why he did. They finished their journey out, but John Mark quit, went back to Jerusalem. So they're done with their journey. Here he is 2-3 years later. Guess what? Let's read what it says here. Look at verse 36 there. And some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we had preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them who? John, whose surname was Mark. Uh-oh. Can you imagine just the audacity of Barnabas to ask Paul that? He quit me the first time. Well, what's Paul say? Look at verse 38. But Paul thought not good to take him with them who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to work. Uh-oh. Even Christian men disagree. Okay? Watch this, verse 39. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. It was so bad they couldn't come to terms with it. Keep in mind, these were best of friends for 15 years. And they couldn't even come to terms. It was a sharp dispute, some accounts say. A feud, a heated feud. Well, I mean, do you blame Paul? He quit us the first time. Can you imagine John Mark at this point? What if you're Mark and you get the word that Paul said, no, man, you're a quitter. You're not worthy. Now, Paul didn't say that, but he didn't want him to go. But can you imagine how Mark must have felt? Man, I was once on fire for God. I was doing everything right, and now I'm just not even worthy anymore. I'm a failure. I turned my back on God. Now I'm paying for it. There's a ripple effect for turning your back on God. There just is. He must have thought, you know what? God can never use me again. He's in the pit. He's in despair, right? See, I like the Bible when it says, but. Every time the Bible says but, something is good about to happen. Or something gonna hold you accountable. One or the other. Well, look at it again. So, look at verse 38 again. And up here. But Paul thought not good to take him with them. See? But here's reality though. John Mark had something that all you teens need, all you adults need. He had a Barnabas. See, my wife's nickname at work, you know what it is? Barnabas. I said, who calls you that? They must not know you. I give her a hard time about it. She's not here tonight, Brother Joey. I'm just kidding. She's a wonderful, wonderful Christian lady. If not for her, who knows? I may have never come to know Jesus Christ. Because she talked about being in church as a young girl, which I didn't go. All the time. See, if you're going to date me and be serious with me, you got to get in church. So I went to church, brothers, you young men, went to church, sat in the very back row back there for 12 years, went to church. I must really liked her a lot, didn't I? For 12 years. But she kept encouraging me. Boy, when the Holy Spirit got hot and heavy on me, I gave my life to Christ. It's the best thing I've ever done. I moved to the front row. Then I moved to the pulpit right after that. And I stutter a lot. You know that? I talk very fast. I'm not supposed to be a preacher, according to what I thought. But God had other plans for me. See, in young kids, I tell you because that, for a reason. I give God the glory for all that. But if I had not chosen to be obedient, my life would have taken a very different path. See, I was that big-time baseball guy as well. I was going to college and pitching, going to get drafted. Didn't want anything to do with church at all. Throwing 93 miles an hour in 11th grade. Had it made. thought I was it. And a bag of chips. That's old saying, I'm sorry. That's old, isn't it? I've got the new stuff now. But you know what? My freshman year of college, actually my senior year in high school, I messed my arm up. So all the phones stopped ringing. But one little junior college in Andalusia, Alabama, Lurley and B. Wallace, still called. Said, I want to give you a chance. Let's rehab, I want to give you a chance. I was throwing for 6 months. Was doing great. Then I had what they call now is Tommy John injury. But back then, the surgery had done like twice in the whole time. So I didn't get, Dr. Andrews, matter of fact, did Bo Jackson, Dr. Andrews, he saw me and said, we've done this a few times now. There's about a 30% chance you'll never even do this ever again. I would advise not doing this. That's your decision. Went back home totally depressed. I spent 2.5 years going from major to major in college, at Wallace College. I had no clue what I wanted to do. I was going to church on Sunday, sitting in the back. See, one bad decision had a ripple effect on my life because I didn't know Christ. I put everything I had into baseball. And that was my ticket. That was my ticket, right? So guess what? I didn't have baseball anymore. I didn't have anything in my mind. I was broken. That one bad decision caused an effect on everybody around me too. I almost lost my girlfriend, my family, because I was so mean. You couldn't be around me. I went from majoring in electronics to welding, all kind of crazy stuff. I had no clue what I was doing. But one day, when I came up here and gave my life to Christ, I realized he's the God of second chances. Now let's put it together real quick. So what does that mean, Brother Michael? What does that mean? Well, Barnabas was the great encourager. But he also had another dear friend, Peter. You know what Peter's name stands for? Rock. He's the rock. Matter of fact, in 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter calls Mark his son. I love this. He took him under his wing and treated him like a son. He was an encourager and a teacher to him. See, I had that. I had some men in my church take me under their wing. See, I grew up without a father. So I had that presence. My mom wasn't even saved back then. Praise God, she has since been saved, and she serves faithfully now, praise God. Isn't that great? My stepfather died of a massive heart attack 2.5 years ago, and he got saved the year before he died. Ripple effect. Ripple effect on the good way. Because I started preaching, I called my mom and said, Mom, I'm supposed to be a preacher. She goes, really? I said, yes. Are you still mad at me? Are you excited? Whatever you want to do, sweetie. Because she didn't understand. She's like, yeah, but you're going to be a financial advisor or a stockbroker. Yeah, Mom, that's not right, though. It created a ripple effect on my family. See, my family loved money, not love God. See, just like right here, though, let's bring it together here, okay? People took me under their wing. It was encouraged me and supported me and helped me. See, and here we go now. So, if anybody, Peter was one of the greatest men to serve him. Why? We all know Peter denied Christ himself, didn't he? 3 times. He even shocked himself. So he knew all about ripple effect and failure, didn't he? Boy, this is so good. Matter of fact, it got so bad one time that the great apostle Paul even rebuked Peter to his face. In Galatians, matter of fact, Paul says, when Peter came, I got face to face with him. Because he was wrong. He was being a hypocrite. And I told him so. He did it in a biblical manner, didn't he? He went face to face. And I like that. But, never underestimate the effect, teens, you adults, that one decision has. I tell my kids all the time, I know yours hard not to fit in, but I get it. I understand. But it's that one decision that changes your life forever. Now, God can restore you, but the scars remain. You have to live with the scars. Thank God for people who will believe in you. Well, Joy, this right here is amazing. This from out of Panther Creek, we're a smaller version of this. People say, well, how do you get so many kids there? I mean, you just go on that bus all the time? We have disputes over this, Brother Joy, disputes with people, preachers. I said, why do you feed those kids? I not only feed them the physical food, we feed them the spiritual food every night. I've gotten kids, you know what, that's gotten saved, ripple effect. Tell you a true story. Picked up a girl named Jada. I called her Jada the Flying Tomato. She was 8 years old, hairy out to here, just wild as they come. She never missed that bus, brother, never. 3 years on that bus. At 11 and a half years old, you know what? I, on many, many occasions, picked her up and her mom down that front porch getting drunk, waving to me. This girl at 11 and a half years old, Brother Joy, would take her mama every night in a drunken stupor and pull her to her bed and kneel down and pray with her. 11 years old. True story. People ask, why do you do that bus? Well, guess what? About 6 months later, on a Wednesday night prayer meeting, my door's right there just like yours, come busting open with a squalling mother. Jada's mom said, I don't know what she has, but I want some of it. Ripple effect. Are you having a ripple effect on somebody down the line from you in a good way or a bad way? What are you doing tonight? See, this is so good right here. So one bad mistake, teens, adults, one bad Facebook post, one bad tweet, one moment of indiscretion, one moment of insanity has a ripple effect. Has a ripple. I encourage you teens, you know, and you adults. I'm sure you hear it all the time. Stop texting people and call them. Talk to them. Okay? Sometimes I know you have to. I get all that. Stop Facebooking, you know what, and call the man. Call the woman face to face and communicate with each other. Talk to one another. See, but here, hold on now, hold on. Take your Bibles real quick. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. Let's hear. I'm going to close this out here, okay? So hold on. This is so good. You hear? Say amen. Right, it's right here. So good right here. You're about to see the God of second chances here. So you saw that Paul was furious, wasn't he? But now, he will never go with me, Barnabas. Never. Hold on, though. Hold on. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. You there? Say amen. This right here is so good. Here we go. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Who was saying that? Paul. Now, let's put it in perspective even better. Where do you think Paul was when he wrote this, when he said this? He was in shackles. See, earlier on, he was in Rome on house arrest. Not very strict security, if you will, but now he was in a dungeon, shackled, about to die. He was about to be put to death. And he said, please, Luke is here, but go get Mark. Go get Mark, for he is profitable to the ministry. See, Paul recognizes that Mark has learned from his mistakes, hasn't he? He's moved on, he's grown up, he's matured. See, John Mark did not wallow in self-pity long, did he? He didn't lie down in the valley. He kept walking, people. He kept walking. Past failure did not determine his future. I get so many kids that will say, Brother Michael, I've done so many things wrong. You think God can't restore you from that? No, the Bible teaches me. I tell everybody, you know what? If you're not welcome in my church, then I'm not welcome in my church. I'm going to preach to you. Now, when you get saved, I expect you to be different. You should be. You have accountability then, right? So, what happens to John Mark? God took a guy who failed, and God let that same guy record 16 chapters about his son. How powerful is that? So, Brother Michael, you mean to tell me that the great John Mark failed one time, he quit one time, he pulled back one time? Yeah, he did. But then he went on to record 16 chapters in God's precious word about his son. Wow. Wow. God is the God of second chances. You know what Jonah 3:1 says? This is so good. It says, and the word came to Jonah a second time. See, because Jonah didn't what? Didn't obey the first time, right? Same as me. God want me to preach. I know I can't preach. I'll do Sunday school teaching. I'll just do that. That's enough. Nope. That's not how it works. thank God for a second time, even a third time. For some of us, maybe a fourth time or a fifth time, right? Sardis, why am I saying this tonight? Let me do this right here. Listen carefully. You hear this? Amen. Listen carefully here. If we, this is the Wednesday night crowd, so I'm assuming, I don't know all of you by any means, I don't know hardly any of you, but usually Wednesday night's the most faithful crowd, typically, right? So if you're the born-again believers, if we don't start realizing the ripple effect that the lost, that we put on them, shows like Modern Family will stay around. Things like God being out of your schools will stay around. Things like you not being able to discuss God at your work will stay around. I'm threatened to be fired twice a week because my emails say, God bless, I'm praying for you. At least once a day, someone come off the closet and said, will you pray with me? He said, let's go. Today, a guy said, let's close the blinds. I said, no. Keep the blinds open in case somebody sees us. I want to be seen praying to my Heavenly Father. My boss says, you know, I'm a Christian too, and I understand all that, and boy, I really respect your passion about it, but you got to be careful in today's time. No, you're right. I got to be careful because the ripple effect of my complacency creates complacent Christians. Sometimes I can party all week and go to church on Sunday. Ooh, I'm good to go. That's not how it works. Not how it works. See, if I'm a born-again believer, I should be obedient, Brother Joy, right? I shouldn't want to watch Modern Family. I shouldn't want to hear bad music all the time. And I'm like you, my kids, I mean, it's a constant battle because they're in public school, and right now we're in the process now of getting my son out. I'm that tired of it. I'm going to a private Christian school. We just started one close to us over there. God did. I'm just that tired of it because you guys don't have a chance. Unless you're strictly obedient and confident in what you believe in, and you should be, and who you serve, Satan will hear. He's roaming about seeking you. And he finds your weaknesses, teens. I mean, I haven't seen so many teens in the church in forever. I'm super excited. But hear me, okay? Hear me. The one time when your friends say, go do this, and you say, okay, you just created a ripple effect. You just told that teen, well, so-and-so's a Christian, and he's doing it, so it must be okay. That's right. See, I'm not okay with that. But I'm called the mean dad. No, I'm the strict one. I just don't get it. See, because my kids, like you, hear everything but what's true. I know for a fact he preaches. I know he does. So listen, okay? Look here, be that Barnabas. Be that Paul. Be that encourager and say, you know what? I'm going to do what's right because if I don't, there's a ripple effect. So tomorrow school, when school starts back here? August? So here's the best part. You've got over a month to practice saying no. Don't you? You've got 5-6 weeks to say two letters. No. I won't do that. When someone says, why don't you come smoke this? Why don't you come drink this or do this? You can say what? No. Because when I do it, there's a ripple effect. You know, I tell you, we took our kids to camp, Brother Joey, in Tennessee here a few weeks ago. I just love it. I love going off with them, watching those kids. See, here's what happens. You guys can also protest to this. Here's what happens. Again, the ripple effect. What happens? One of my girls who's 11 years old, been in church since she's been born. Her mom and dad come every Sunday morning. Good people. The very first night, she said, Brother Michael, I love God nighttime. I said, really, baby? I'm so excited to hear that. And why do you like it? So I'm curious. She goes, because see, at home, we never have God nighttime. We're too busy to read the Bible at home. And when I'm forced to read it here, I find out that I want to read it, and I learn stuff, and I feel better. That's what I'm supposed to do, right? God's calling us now. Here's what happens, though. You know what? Here's what happens. She said, I just love God nighttime. 11 years old. See, they go off to camp, and there's no pressure. There's no cell phone. There's no nonsense. They get on fire for God because they get out of their comfort zones, and no one's watching them. When they come back to my church, you know what? If you guys extinguish those flames, I'm going to beat every one of you. That's what I tell them. I'm not serious about it. Mom and dad, you better pray with them. You better be in church. Don't give them a reason to be complacent because your complacency has a ripple effect on your kids and your grandkids. Just the truth. If your mom and dad's not serving faithfully, why don't you do, guess what? Have a ripple effect on them. This is my very first Sunday school class. I taught two kids. I didn't want to do it. The Sunday school guy says, you've been here for a long time, and we don't have any volunteers. You teach Sunday school? How sad is that? That's not the right way to do it. And my wife, I was trying to chase her around. She was like, that'd be a great idea if you just start doing that. I'm like, shoot, man. I've been chasing you for 11 years. Goodness gracious, let's give in by now. Come on, let's go. The very first 18 is what I said. What do you guys want to study? My niece, Sammy Jo Hill, said, you're not prepared for this class. You shouldn't be teaching it. She married a good friend of ours, Kevin Hill. Went off to Bible college together. That ripple effect she had on me. See, because some years later, she left our small town of Vicksburg, went to Virginia Beach, Virginia, and toured Gateway Bible College. And we're all a bunch of homebodies. They're tight. My wife's family are like tight knit. They see each other four times an hour. And I'm like, y'all get tired of each other? I mean, but praise God, they're awesome now. I'm used to that growing up. I wasn't used to that kind of stuff. So when I said, we're going to take your daughter to Virginia Beach, she goes, Michael Gibson, what are you doing? See, I was the big boss for a movie gallery, so I could fly planes for free all the time. So I said, I'll fly here with me one business trip. We go up there, we tour it, boy, and God got a hold of her, and she goes, I need to go. I want to go. She met her husband, now my youth pastor. Good man. See, it was that ripple effect of my niece had on her uncle, saying, you're not prepared. I was humiliated. I disgraced God. See, kids, you adults, every time you don't choose to do the right thing according to God's word, you have a ripple effect on Christianity and the lack thereof. Right? So, in closing, do not allow your history to control your destiny. Right? Failure is not final. I'm a person of second chances. God can get you back on track. As a matter of fact, his name is not God I was, it's God I am. Right? So, 3 points tonight. If you can, write them down. Remember what you got to do. It's really important. God is so good that you need to remember this. Okay, number one, every past failure is preparation for some future opportunity. Amen? Every past failure is preparation for some future opportunity. Number two, don't turn your moment into a monument. Don't dwell on your mistakes. Move on. Get past them. Number three, never underestimate the ripple effect of one bad decision. And even better, never underestimate the ripple effect of one good decision. A few good decisions by good people around me led me to Christ. Then he saved me. And it's been the best thing I've ever done. I love preaching the word of God. This time, I want you to bow your heads. I'm going to get Brother Joy to come close in a second, but this is, I got to do this, okay?